We'll be talking today about the power of testimony. It may just change your life.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's a verse you may have heard from the Psalms, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." It's often used to call for testimony. And I want to encourage you today about the power of testimony. You're going to be edified, encouraged, blessed on today's broadcast. This is Michael Brown coming your way live from, is it Cummings, Georgia, right outside of Dawsonville, Georgia, where I'm here for ministry yesterday and today. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. We are audio only, so the same as always on radio, but you don't get to see me live on Facebook and YouTube. But same voice, same Michael Brown, serving as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. And same number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-3487-884. I do want to talk a little bit about the coronavirus. I do want to talk a little bit about the presidential elections in America, and I'm open to take your calls on a wide range of subjects. So if you're unable to get through on a Friday or even on a Thursday and had a question for me or comment, wanted to interact, please, by all means, give me a call. And as we've spoken about the gifts and power of the Spirit for today and covered those issues, if you have questions about those things, please give me a phone call. But I want to encourage you on the subject of the power of testimony. And it's something that I think we do not use enough, because of which our faith is not as strong as it could be. Our confidence is not as strong as it could be. And God is not glorified to the degree that he could be glorified. I was at a meeting last night, spoke yesterday, so Sunday morning, Sunday night, at a church in North Georgia, Dawsonville, Georgia, where 109 weeks ago, they began to call for people that wanted to make a rededication of their lives through water baptism or a symbolic act of surrender in their lives through water baptism. So not necessarily a first-time convert, which is how we normally associate water baptism, but so it would have been in the ancient Jewish world. There were various baptismal rites, washing rites. Hebrews 6:2 talks about doctrine, teaching of baptisms, plural. In any case, as they began to do it in obedience to something the Lord had shown the pastor, people began to get miraculously touched. People got set free from long-term sinful bondages. People got miraculously healed, encountered God in fresh ways. So they did it again another week and another week. So numerous churches come together now to host these meetings on Sunday nights. There's time of worship, there's preaching, and then there's water baptism. So I finished preaching. Service started at 6. I finished preaching at 8 some, a little bit past 8. We had people respond to the message. And then I prayed for individuals that wanted prayer, but after that, they went into their water baptisms. And people come from other countries to be baptized, come from different parts of America, or to go through this baptismal ceremony. And you wouldn't know what was really happening. You know what I'm saying? There are people being ministered to and prayed for quietly, but you wouldn't really know what's happening as it's going on. And they would do this. I don't know how late it lasted. I left about 9:45, something like that. But I believe it went on past midnight, sometimes to 1 or 2 in the morning. They pray for everyone, minister to everyone, baptize everyone that wants to go through this. And you think, well, what actually happened? Because you're watching it, you're not seeing anything. People seem to be touched and blessed, but you're not really seeing anything. It's just quiet service, people praying and ministering and so on. Not a big emotional, you know, shouting, jumping around or anything like that. There's worship going on as the people are being baptized. But what's actually happening? Well, before the baptisms last night, before I preached, there were testimonies. There was a family there, mom, dad, with their 4 girls, 2 twins, I think 8, then a 7-year-old girl, then a 4-year-old girl. And the four-year-old girl, they noticed some problems, the neck stiffening and different problems with walking and things like that. And they brought her into the doctor, and turned out that she had a cancerous tumor lodged in her spine. And they said nothing can be done about it. They said radiation, the goal with radiation, a regimen of 28 days of radiation, the goal is to stop it from growing, but you can't get rid of it. And life expectancy is very short. It's deadly. So they're at the end of themselves. They hear about what's happening. They bring their daughter, and she doesn't want to get in the water, you know, with everything she's been through. So the dad does on her behalf. Again, is just a point of faith, a point of contact, a point of saying fresh surrender to the Lord. And then they prayed over the daughter, and they brought her back in for another X-ray. And the doctor's looking and is shocked, is amazed. The tumor's completely gone. We saw the before and after. There is the X-ray, before and after. God's a good God. He does these kind of things. No, I know not everybody's healed. I understand that. The vast majority of people I prayed for with cancer over the years have not been healed. I'm totally honest about that. All right, the healings have been few and far between. I haven't prayed for that many people with cancer. Those I have, normally I haven't seen a miraculous answer. But God does these things. He does them to this day. Jesus has risen from the dead and sent his Spirit and continues to do these amazing, wonderful things. So there it is. Now here, the husband's being totally honest. He said, you know, my skepticism kicked in. And I said, okay, could the radiation have done this? And they said, no, you don't understand. This tumor does not respond to radiation that way. Our hope was that it wouldn't grow for a little while, just extend her life by maybe a few more months. That was our hope. I said, no, the doctor said, it is a miracle. We have no explanation for why this happened. Now, it was one of three miraculous testimonies that we heard last night on video or in person. And two of the three were cancer-related, and they both had scans, medical scans afterwards, where the doctors had no explanation, said, this is a miracle. Then the father says this. When we look at that, there's this little white dot that's on the X-ray, and he says, what about that? They said, no, that's just a fatty deposit. That's always there. It's just a fatty deposit. Because he's thinking like we are. Is it real? Could it be? I don't know. Maybe it's not really true. And I love the fact that he was being open and honest with his skepticism. I love that, because that's most of us. I mean, you hear the reports like, yeah, last time I heard the report, the person died, or it wasn't the doctor's report, they misread it or whatever. And yeah, it's natural to have these questions. But then you hear the testimony and you see the family, and then you meet the people years later, and the healing is real. And here's the whole deal. You didn't know what was happening until you heard the testimony. And suddenly you realize what God was doing. I have been in meetings where people have responded to an altar call, and they come up and they're weeping at the altar and they're crying out to God, but I don't know their lives. I don't know the background. I don't know the history. I don't know why these two people are hugging each other, crying. I don't know the story until I hear the testimony. And when I hear it, now my faith soars. Now I'm edified. Now I'm encouraged. Now I'm built up. And I just ask folks, I do this hardly ever. But I just ask folks on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, then my personal Facebook page, and then our Twitter page. I just ask folks, if our ministry has been a blessing to you, could you just share a short testimony? I want to encourage our team, and I want to glorify God together with you. And I've been reading, I mean, scores and scores and scores and scores of testimonies posted, and it's moving and it's encouraging. Thank you, all of you that are listening that posted testimonies. Thank you for taking the time to do it. How encouraging. How wonderful to hear how maybe a book that we wrote changed your life, or a radio broadcast that we did saved you from error, or whatever it is, all to the glory of God. But you see, right now I'm talking on radio, right? I'm speaking, and I know there are people listening because we're on the radio, and we can see on YouTube and Facebook views, and then people downloading podcasts, and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. I understand that. But right now I'm sitting talking in an empty room to a microphone, all right? You may be listening, and the words I'm saying are life-changing for you, but I don't know it, and the rest of the body doesn't know it because there's no testimony to go with it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Once you hear the rest of the story, once you find out that that person weeping at the altar was a drug abuser for 20 years, and that night came under deep conviction of sin, and that night went running to the altar to get right with God, and that night was forgiven, and then you see them 6 months later, you can't even recognize them, and they are new creations in Christ. They are changed people. They have been saved by the blood of the Messiah. You hear the rest of their story and their background. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's glorious. I want to encourage you to share testimonies with one another more, to edify and encourage one another more. I posted one time and I asked the question, if you have been miraculously healed by God, a definite, documented, tangible healing, not I believe it, I feel it, I think it, but it's documented. You had a documented medical condition, maybe it was incurable, and by God's power and grace, you miraculously healed, not through our prayers. I'm just asking if this happened in your life, to post it. And we did it on social media. I was blown away. I mean, I know God works. I know he works miracles. But I was blown away by the testimonies and in some cases, the depth of suffering, the pain, the heartache, the difficulty, and then the glorious divine intervention. Wow. Or the accounts with children or individuals or the medical testimonies and the doctor's shock. And that was 30 years ago. That was 20 years ago. Wow. I mean, even people responding to our books. I was looking at testimonies from people who read the book that Nancy and I wrote, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. And I'm looking down and there's some amazing testimonies that are just glorious. Let me just find this here. I lost 85 pounds and kept it off for almost a full year now. My wife has lost 74 pounds and is a few weeks away from her one-year weight loss anniversary. God bless you and Dr. Furman. Dr. Joel Furman's plan is the one that we follow. And then I was reading another account, a gentleman in a wheelchair, but was so obese, it affected his whole health. And he said, you know, my family now, they have a husband back and they have a father back. Because he lost so much weight and his whole health changed that he's able to function and do things he couldn't do before. Even that is so encouraging to hear. So if you have a testimony, share it. Share it with a friend. Share it with the world. Let God be glorified. The power of testimony. We need to use it more. I'm going to show you scripture on this when we come back. And phone lines are open. If you have a testimony you want to share, if our ministry has been a blessing to you, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question for me or if our ministry has been a blessing to you and you'd like to testify how to the glory of God, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. Just so moments ago, as I was looking at our Twitter feed, an Israeli believer, Jewish believer in Jesus, wanting us to know how our materials had helped and blessed him. I have run into so many Jewish believers around the world who've told me that they are strong in the faith because of the apologetics books that we put out. Again, it's all for God's glory. Any good that comes through us is for God's glory. But that's been amazing to hear because I wrote those books, the five-volume series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, so that no other Jewish believer would have to go through the pain that I went through, the challenges I went through, as these Orthodox Jewish rabbis and learned rabbis challenged my faith, and I did not have ready answers for them because I didn't know Hebrew, and I wasn't versed in apologetics. I knew that Jesus had changed my life, but I didn't have the answers for them. And as God called me to study and dig and do the hard work and spend the hundreds and thousands of hours necessary to put out these resources and dialogue with the Jewish community to do it well and to do it with sensitivity, when I hear from people, and it's been a steady stream for many, many years, that they were struggling in their faith, that they were having questions. And then as they read these books, that the questions were answered. As they watched the debates, the questions were answered. Faith came alive. It means everything. It encourages you and what you're doing to keep doing it. Friends, do your spiritual leaders, your pastors and spiritual leaders, do they know that their ministry has been a blessing to you? Do they know that maybe that sermon was a life-changing sermon for you? Do they know that that word that you had for the word that pastor had for your kid, that was a pivotal word there? Do they know that? Do they know that when they prayed for you 2 weeks ago that God touched you and you were healed? Share it. It will glorify the Lord. It will strengthen your faith as you share it. It will strengthen the faith of others as they hear it. And it will encourage the leaders to keep going, to keep sacrificing, to keep pushing. So from Dan, or Don, as it would be in Israel, I'm an Israeli Jewish believer in Christ. I've been following your work since 2008, Dr. Brown. Your cultural commentary, and especially your Jewish apologetics, have enriched me to no end over the years. Hope God blesses you in the years to come. Another one in comment that said, as I read your writing, I realize that there's a tribe out there that I'm part of. In other words, that he's not alone in what he feels. And that's part of what we seek to do, to be your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. So look, when we look in the Bible, friends, when we look in the scriptures, we see the account of the Exodus, not just told as it happened, but retold and retold and retold in Israel's history. And it's given again in the historical books. They look back to it, but then the prophets look back to it, and the Psalms look back to it. And there's this constant remembrance and testimony so that you don't forget what God did in the past. Look, circumstances can overwhelm us. The challenges of the day can overwhelm us. Difficulties and hardship can overwhelm us, and we end up struggling in our faith, and we need to be reminded of what he did in the past. God's not inconsistent. God's not fickle. God doesn't change. The famous verse in Hebrews 13 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that is forever true. And as we think back to what he did, as ancient Israel put the next generation in remembrance as to who God was and what he did, it stirred faith. And then the question, where is the God of our fathers today? What do you think the Gospels repeat the same account over and over and over? Miracle recounted here, miracle recounted there, miracle recounted there, teaching of Jesus here, teaching of Jesus there. It's to drill it in. It's to get it deeper and deeper into our hearts. Look, the Samaritan woman, Jesus speaks to her as a prophet. She realizes that he's the Messiah, and she goes and tells the whole neighborhood, and they come flocking to hear him. Now they come through her testimony, and then they meet Jesus for themselves, and they say, hey, yeah, we heard what you had to say, but now we believe because we've encountered him firsthand. Your testimony can be the key to that. Even reading back in your own journal, those of you who journal, or if you have something where you note answers to prayer, a lot of times you feel, God, if you come through now, I will remember this for the rest of my life. I will praise you the rest of my life. I will never, ever, ever forget what you have done. But then a few months later, we've all but forgotten. It does happen. It does happen. I remember one time journaling, God, if you don't come through now, it's all over. That's how I felt. If you don't come through now, it's all over. And I journaled that. And then some months later, I found that journal entry and I thought, what was that about? Obviously, financial crisis in the ministry or the school and feeling if God didn't come through, we had no way out. And then I went back and looked at it and thought, I don't even remember what that was. I mean, the crisis seemed so big at that time. Well, God answered. I basically forgot about it. Don't forget what the Lord has done. Psalm 103, right? Praise the Lord, all my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, all my soul. And don't forget all of his benefits, all of his bountiful good deeds. Don't forget what he's done. It's so essential. It's so important. It will bring us to a place where we get stirred afresh, where we believe afresh, where confidence increases. it's one of the key things that happened in revival. And friends, you're going to hear a lot from me about true revival and true visitation and deep repentance, God willing, in the days and months ahead. My latest article on stream.org and on AskDrBrown.org, Revival or We Die. If you haven't read it, read it. It trust me, it'll stir your heart. It'll raise your vision. It'll remind you that there's no political solution for the problems we face, but only a supernatural solution that must come from above. So in revival, and I believe the Wednesday broadcast, we're going to focus on the subject again. So be prepared to be edified and strengthened and encouraged and instructed. We're going to open this up scripturally and systematically for you in the days ahead. But this is what often spurs revival movements, that God begins moving and there's deep repentance and transformation, but you don't know it because you haven't heard the story. You saw the people at the altar. You saw the people responding. You saw the tears, but you don't know them, or you don't know their story, or you don't know how deeply the impact has come. And then days later, you begin to hear, weeks later, sometimes hours later, sometimes months later. And when you begin to hear, you realize, wow, God's moving. Something supernatural is happening. This is a great miracle. And then as there are more and more and more testimonies, and you begin to hear of lives transformed, I mean, it's glorious. It's wonderful. In October of 1997, I sat with the superintendent of schools of Escambia County. Pensacola, Florida is in Escambia County, and the Brownsville Revival broke there, Brownsville just being a neighborhood in Pensacola. Not Brownsville, Texas, which is a larger city, but Brownsville, a neighborhood in the city of Pensacola. And I was an eyewitness to what God was doing there from May of 1996 through 2000. I mean, extraordinary, wonderful, glorious works, a true outpouring, a true revival. And repentance-based, Jesus-exalting lives dramatically changed to this day, to this day. And I'll tell you about my meeting with the superintendent of schools in Escambia County. But I prayed for a woman last night here in Georgia where I am. I prayed for a woman. So what, she's in her early 40s. She said, I was 16 years old. I went to the Brownsville Revival 25 years ago. She said, it marked me for life. And here she is, an elementary school teacher, and she so longs to see God move in the schools. And one kid bows his head to pray in the cafeteria, and the presence of God falls to the cafeteria. And I prayed for her, and she fell to the ground sobbing and weeping for the schools. But she was dramatically impacted in Pensacola 25 years ago. I spoke to the superintendent of schools in October of 97. The revival began in June of 95. And here you are now, 2.5 years later, almost 2.5 years later, and I'm talking to the superintendent of schools, and I ask them, has the revival had an impact on the schools? All right, here, this man would know. He was the principal of one of the high schools, and now he is the superintendent of all the schools. And he said, oh, absolutely. I can tell you firsthand. And he told me about the growth of the Bible club in the school where he was principal and how young people's lives were being changed. This is the superintendent of schools who was the principal saying firsthand what God had done. Well, it happened, but I didn't have all the stories. I didn't have his perspective. Once I sat with him, once I met with him, now that power of testimony I could share with others, and now faith could be built. Why not our county? Why not our school? Why not our kids? I want to encourage you not just to share the testimony of your salvation, which is powerful and wonderful, all right? Especially if you're not raised in the faith and came from the world and sinful living as I did, but other testimonies, answers to prayer, God coming through miraculously financially, God coming through with divine healing, with divine guidance, working in your lives in other ways, getting you through difficult, hard situations where you thought you'd never make it, and here you are on the other side of it. Testify, share the good news, share the story. There's power in it, and it is absolutely life-changing. And another quick reminder, friend, I am not just a conservative political commentator. That is not who I am. That is not why I'm on the air. I am a gospel-based cultural commentator. I am a gospel-based preacher and teacher. We are always seeking to edify you. We're never just talking politics or what's happening in the world. Our goal is always to edify you, build you up, and strengthen you so that you can be all God's called you to be. All right, we'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Power of testimony. Don't underestimate it. Use it. Encourage one another. Faith will be built. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. If you're anywhere near Dawsonville, Georgia, tonight I'll be speaking to Kineo Bible School, Bible College, maybe about 50-something students, but it's open to the public. So everyone is welcome to come tonight. That'll be starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find that info on my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on itinerary. Okay, before we go to the phones, my updated thoughts on the coronavirus. Honestly, friends, I still don't know what to make of it. What do I mean? Is it as bad as some are saying? There are Australian scientists who said the best case scenario, best case, is that 15 million people die worldwide. Then I saw another Harvard scientist who said the whole thing is being blown out of proportion. Different countries are taking very strict measures. New York State, Governor Cuomo has declared a state of emergency over the virus. Sean Bolts, prophetic brother, claims that God visited him and said that it's not going to be that bad. It's going to suddenly end. Paraphrase. You can get his exact words. Just search for that online. Obviously, we pray for mercy. We pray for divine intervention. We encourage folks to use wisdom and things like that. Absolutely. And I wrote an article, if you didn't see it, Sunday on the stream. So yesterday on stream.org. Which is an appeal to Christian leaders to be proactive with their health. Now, it's for everybody. It's for sure for everybody. But this is something that is really important at a time like this, and I want to encourage my fellow leaders to be on top of this and to say, hey, listen. It is really, really important to be proactive with your health. We need you on the front lines. And just being healthy and having a strong immune system through healthy eating is the biggest thing that you can do in terms of combating viruses and the like, all right? But I just want to say this, and it's very, very important. Whatever happens, do not get into a panic, all right? Do not get into a panic. Do not get into a mode of like, what's going to happen? Because that's not the mode of a child of God. That's not the mode of someone who it knows the Lord and has confidence that whatever comes our way, that we take refuge in the living God who is faithful. I'm using wisdom in my own travel. I was in Hong Kong for hours back and forth en route to Australia last week and earlier this week. To me, the biggest thing is, just put my life in God's hands and continue to live a totally healthy lifestyle as I have now since August of 2014. And that's that. And my trust is in the Lord. Beyond that, you know, from my life and the lives of my loved ones. But what should our attitude be? It should never be one of panic and, oh no, and it's because we're children of God. That should never be our attitude. There should be an attitude of trust and confidence in his goodness, but be proactive, friends. Do what you can to live a healthy lifestyle. That is your best antidote to sickness, disease in general. So in a moment, friends, I am going to go over to Scotland. We've got other calls I'm going to get to momentarily, but there's a situation in Scotland I want you to be aware of. And right now, we are joined by Pastor Andrew Owen in Scotland. My dear brother, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire today.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Greetings from a very wet Scotland.
Yes. Well, nothing new about Scotland being wet, correct?
That's true.
Yeah. So my dear brother, please tell our listeners in America and on internet around the world, please let them know exactly what you are dealing with in Scotland, which, as far as you know, is unprecedented in your nation.
That's correct, Dr. Brown. We're facing a challenge that, as far as you're aware, has never happened before. We host an annual conference in a publicly owned conference center in the city of Edinburgh. And we've used this center before in years gone by, and we booked it again for this year, only to find that a few weeks ago they cancelled and terminated our contract and terminated our booking. And the reason they gave was that one of our keynote speakers, Larry Stockstill from the States, had written in a book or in some blogs that he's posted his view on Christian marriage, his view on homosexuality, and so on. And because of that opinion, that thought, that idea that he held, they cancelled our contract. And it's the first time, not just in Scotland, but in the UK, that a church has actually been locked out of a venue that's owned by the city. And of course, at the same time, in the city of Glasgow, Franklin Graham was also locked out of the exhibition centre there for similar reasons. So we have a very unusual situation going on at the moment, in that we, the church, Destiny Church, are having to take the city to court in pursuit of our human rights.
Mm. And look, I know Larry Stockstill, and I'm on the front lines of the culture wars in America, and Larry Stockstill is not known for that. He's one of the leading pastors in America, highly respected, but he's not known for speaking out about issues on homosexuality, as, say, Franklin Graham is known. So Larry Stockstill is just a pastor who happens to believe what the Bible says about these issues. And yet, because he was one of the speakers and had one time affirmed that marriage is a union of one man and one woman, and a complaint came to the city that they're locking you out. So we're not exaggerating this. And how many people complained and made a fuss about this?
In Edinburgh, one.
Yeah, one person.
Just one person. In Glasgow with the Franklin Graham, there were hundreds of people who complained there. But for us, we're a local church. We're heavily involved with the community. We have lots of social action things going on. We put a lot of effort into our city. So we've never heard of this before. And the conference, of course, was nothing to do with that topic or that subject in any event. This was about church planting and about evangelism and about growing churches. And Larry was a great fit for all of that. But now it seems as if you think the wrong thing, you get banned from public premises. And so we find ourselves having to pursue and reach for a judicial review, which we've never done before. But the outcome will affect every single church in the UK. So it's imperative that we fight, and it's imperative that we win. So we trust in God.
And Pastor, when you got the word from the center that the event was being canceled or being locked out, how did that hit you? What happened emotionally to you when you got that report?
We were just totally stunned. We were shocked and surprised that a city that we have a number of churches in, that we have a great relationship with, we're heavily involved with the community, we were shocked and stunned that they would take such an action. And at first, we went back to them for a full explanation. They didn't tell us how many people had complained. They made it out that it had been a huge complaint. And only when we applied for a freedom of information did we discover it was one person. But we then asked them to reconsider. We explained our situation. We assured them even that the conference wasn't anything to do with that subject, that Larry is not known for that. But they'd made their mind up, and as the weeks have now gone on, they've become more belligerent and more adamant that they are going to do all that they can to defend that decision. And of course, we have rights with the UN, we have the rights with the EU, of which we're still a part at the moment, and the UK law gives us rights, but the challenge we have is that our law has never been tested in this point, because it's never needed to have been before. And so there's no precedent. You know, we can't apply an old precedent because it doesn't exist as yet. And so although the laws are there, we're now having to test them in court. But and, it's a real challenging situation here because they're wanting to close you down, not just for saying things, but for thinking things now.
Exactly. Listen, when God called me to get involved in LGBT issues, that the T word wasn't even prominent then in 2004, I immediately saw as I began to research this that gay activism was the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience in America and in other nations. And I saw that those who came out of the closet wanted to put us in the closet. And people say, well, why do you make such a big deal about this? We're not focusing on the sin so much. Yeah, we believe that homosexual practice is sinful, but it's the agenda in the society to indoctrinate our children in the schools and to silence the voice of the church. I mean, we're not exaggerating when we say this. And the thing is, Scotland has a great Christian history. You know, the country of John Knox and the UK has such a great Christian history, and yet things are shifting now where Christians are becoming the outlaws. How many times have street preachers been arrested or harassed for just answering a question? They're not even preaching on homosexuality. Someone asks them a question, they respond, the next thing, you're intimidating me, it's hate speech. So this must be dealt with. And just like Paul in the New Testament said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, I have certain rights. It is right for us to stand up. So folks, we want to encourage you to be praying for righteousness, praying for churches across the UK to stand together. And Pastor, what else could folks do on a practical level in America, in UK, around the world? What can they do right now on a practical level to help?
Well, there's two things. One, please pray, because it's imperative that we win this case. It will affect every other church. But we've opened a crowdfunding page to raise the funds needed to pay for our legal fees, which will be about £150,000. So that's maybe $180,000, we think. And that's beyond our local church budget. So, but you know, it was the last thing we wanted to do, but we believe now it's the right thing to do. And we would appreciate financial support towards these legal fees. We've got a great legal team who are doing all that they can. We think we've got the best team. And the law's on our side, so we believe in God for a great victory.
All right, and what's the website to go to, sir?
DestinyGlasgow.com.
All right, DestinyGlasgow.com. And let me just tell our team, Kai and Matt, let's just pull this out as a video that we can post on social media separately with that link again, DestinyGlasgow.com. And one key thing is, as you know, but I want to encourage you, to the extent you can get other churches, other leaders, other groups, because as you say in your video, this could affect Jews, this could affect Muslims, this could affect Christians of various denominations and backgrounds. It's a large freedom of speech issue, not just only a Christian issue. May the Lord be with you. May you stand strong. May Scotland do the right thing. God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. God bless.
All right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. So let's be praying with our friends in Scotland. And those who are able to give and support, please do that. Hey, I'm going to go back to the phones momentarily, but I want to remind you about why I'm on the air, friends, and why your prayer for us, why your support for us is so valuable. There are plenty of fine conservative voices on the air. There are brilliant voices, secular voices, Jewish voices, Christian voices, but they are not coming from a faith perspective. They're just dealing with the news, social commentaries, cultural commentaries, things like that. And they're doing a great job, and they're eloquent and articulate and informed. I am not here to compete with them, okay? I am not here to compete with Rush Limbaugh or Ben Shapiro or Dennis Prager. That let them each do what they do and do it with excellence, okay? My goal is to be your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. In other words, to be faith-based, to be gospel-based, to be spirit-based. so that what I'm saying every single day is grounded in the love of God. Yeah, we may not have the sarcastic, mocking commentary that someone else has, but that's fine. Let them do what they do. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I'm going to come across in a little different way and hopefully encourage you to love your enemies in the midst of the conflict. Whatever I say, I want to come across also with a spirit of faith and confidence in God, and be word-based even when we are giving social and political commentary. So as you pray for us, God's given us a unique place on the air and a unique role. Each one has their place. Doesn't mean we're better than anybody else, but it means we have a unique role to play. And by God's grace, we want to play that role. We want to run that race. We want to expand our radio outreach in the days ahead. We want to expand the time that we're doing radio every day. And by radio, I mean our internet outreach as well, YouTube, Facebook, and other means. And we want to expand the stations that we're on. Please pray that God would amplify our voice in the days ahead. We know he's given us a message. By God's grace, we're able to reach millions, but we want to reach tens of millions by God's grace, hundreds of millions by his grace. We can do it with your help. So stand with us, pray, let's believe God together, and let's make a difference. All right, with that, we go to the phones. Jesse in Minnesota, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. You know, I've been on a number of times now, and it's beginning to be that I'm a regular caller, it seems.
Well, sweet. Great.
All right. So my question is regarding, and thanks for having me on, by the way. My question has to do with Mark 6:50. Now, in this verse, it talks about Jesus walking on water, and it was brought up to me that this is just an old trick of people walking on water that goes back 2,000 years, even before Jesus was alive, and Buddhist teaching. Somebody linked me a certain little thing about some guy walking on water to get to Buddha or something like that. And then another person ended up saying something like, someone else said miracles don't really happen, but there's an explanation for them. They might be completely unordinary, but there's a sort of non-metaphysical explanation for these things that make them improbable, but you know they're not actually like a supernatural or that sort of event. So I'm just wondering what you have to say, what comment you might have on that particular thing.
Yeah, number one is that the walking on the water of Jesus is one of thousands of miraculous things that he did. That we have all the accounts of him healing the sick and raising the dead, opening blind eyes, delivering people from demons, and then weather miracles, stilling the storms and things like that. So there's no one else that ever lived that has this recorded about him. No one else who ever lived that has all of these claims recorded about them and with numerous eyewitness accounts. And remember, the Gospels are written primarily by eyewitnesses, and then they're published while people who saw the ministry of Jesus are still alive. And the oral traditions were circulating even more before that. If these things were all made up, we're not just talking about the walking on the water. That was a limited number of people that saw that. But we're talking about so many other things. If they were all made up, then the people would have just thrown the whole thing out because everybody knew it wasn't true. Even the skeptical accounts make reference to Jesus being known as a miracle worker or a healer or things like that. Even early rabbinic accounts mention his followers were known for healing the sick. But the bigger thing is that he's the only one that rose from the dead. My new book, Resurrection, which just came out, really makes the case for the reliability of the accounts about the resurrection. And we go into modern days with expectations of false messiahs that were going to rise and things like that in Jewish circles. And it's a real eye-opener in an academic way, but in a fascinating read as to why we are absolutely sure about the resurrection of Jesus. And here's the thing. If he didn't rise from the dead, we wouldn't know about any of these other things. We wouldn't have the gospel accounts because no one would have been writing about it. So that sets him apart. And to this day, he's working miracles. that sick are being healed in Jesus' name. I shared earlier in the broadcast about some testimonies I saw last night of miraculous cancer healings in Jesus' name, not associated with a person, not associated with a famous evangelist, but Jesus doing it and with medical documentation and the doctor saying, this is a miracle. So that's why I believe he walked on the water, because the same accounts that tell me of his resurrection and that the same authors that tell me about this Jesus who's working miracles to this day also tell me about the walking on the water. But that in itself is fairly insignificant. In other words, that's not the major miracle or the major thing or anything. That's just another thing that happened in his life. And when you read it with the account also, and we have it in Matthew too, that interestingly, it highlights Peter's unbelief and fear, which is the kind of thing you don't normally put about your great leaders, these accounts about their failings. But that's another reason that we take the gospel so seriously. Hey, thanks for calling, and God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Alex in Canada. Thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, what's up? Am I on?
Hey.
Hey, what's up? How are you? I
doing great, thanks.
About the testimony.
Go ahead, please.
And, oh yeah, I've been watching your videos for a couple of years now, and like here and there, I kind of agree with a lot of Bible stuff you say, and I also agree on just general like Bible, except one thing, and this one is probably very very big, okay. It's and you're very expressive about Zionism. Like you make videos, you do debates. Your main videos like when I open the page, it's there. How do you reconcile that by being a Bible believer? Where in the Bible does it say that Israel, like after tragically, I never condone anybody getting hurt or anything for what they believe, like similar to what a secularist would say or something. But I'm not a secularist. How do you reconcile that with being a Bible believer? They could have went to Russia. They recognized them first. They could have went to the States. They could have went anywhere. Why?
Alex, it's because I'm a Bible believer. That's a great question, but it's a surprising question because there are hundreds of verses where God says that he gave the land of Israel to the descendants, physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would scatter them in his anger and regather them. Alex, I'm trying to help you, buddy. Okay, I'm trying to answer your question. All right? He said he would bring them back to the land from which he scattered them. And he'd resettle them there, verse after verse after verse after verse in the Bible. It didn't happen after the Babylonian captivity. He didn't bring them back from all over the world. But he says it all over the Bible that he's going to bring them back to that land. And Paul says that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, that even though the Jewish people at present may have been enemies because of the gospel, they're still loved on account of the patriarchs. And Jesus said in Luke 21 that the Jewish people would be scattered from Jerusalem until the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. So it's until, and then the regathering comes. So I believe that modern Israel has been raised up by God because it's the only possible biblical explanation. I would have to deny the Bible to deny that.
No, I feel like it's the opposite, because nowhere in history, for example, nowhere in history, Dr. Brown, that like most of my Jewish friends, like modern Jewish friends, I live in Canada, so they're going to be like, oh, I'm from Ashkenaz. Like, that's most of them, you know what I mean? Or Hasidic. And then they'll be like, but we're not Semites, you know what I mean? Because they're not. They're from Russia.
No, we are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Alex, here's the point.
The Jewish people
God scattered.
Theology doesn't matter because it's about Jesus, not only about
Alex, okay, so here's your problem. You don't believe the Bible. You don't believe the Bible. That's your problem, sir. All right. Now, I've got a minute and then I'm done. I believe what's written in the Bible. God didn't change the words. The Jewish people that he scattered from the land, that have been scattered around the world, he said, I will bring you back from wherever I scattered you. And they'll no longer talk about the God who brought the Jewish people back from Egypt, but the God who brought the Jewish people back from all around the world, from all the places where he scattered us. And he said in Ezekiel 36, he would bring us back in unbelief and have mercy on us back in the land. It's verse after verse after verse after verse about the physical land of Israel. Do Jews need to believe in Jesus to be saved? Yes, of course. Of course. But do Jews need to believe in Jesus to be brought back to the land? No. And there have been Christian leaders through the centuries who've said this very thing is going to happen. Alex, please get the new edition of my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. It'll really help you. You got to believe this if you're a Bible believer, man. All right, God bless you. Back with you tomorrow, friends.